Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord. God's people weren't happy. They had been wandering through the wilderness. They asked for food to eat, and God provided them manna. They asked for water to drink, and God caused water to come out of rocks and out of the ground. They had plenty to eat and plenty to drink. And yet, as they wandered through the wilderness, they got to the point where they started to get angry. And when they got angry, they started to grumble against Moses, their leader, and grumble against God and say, "We don't even like this food that God is giving us." And what we hear in the Old Testament is the outcome of that anger and that grumbling is that they weren't watching where they were going, and they ended up in a valley that was full of poisonous snakes. And the snakes started to bite God's people. Some of them died, and that was enough to sort of shake the sense back into the rest of them. And people cried out to Moses and cried out to God, "We're sorry for what we did. Can you stop us from dying from these snakes?" And God said, "Build a brass rod, put an image of a snake around it, and anyone who has been bitten by the snake can look at it, and they will be healed, and they will live." So we see as we look at our ancestors in faith that being angry is not an unusual thing, but it also cautions us to ask, what happens with that anger? And where does it lead us? And what happens to us because of the anger? The gospel text for today is an early section of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has come up out of his baptism and has announced that the kingdom of heaven is near, that is, God's way of doing things is close at hand. And then we move into, starting in chapter 5, what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. We get the Beatitudes in there. We then hear about how God's people should be filled with light and they should be salty. And that whole section ends with the verse before the gospel text today where Jesus says to them, "Be more righteous than your good leaders in front of you." That is, be more righteous and faithful than the best believers in your midst. After putting that out, then, Jesus teaches about anger. It's fascinating how Jesus chooses to teach about anger, where he connects anger with the commandment not to kill. But where do those two intersect? If you follow the storyline in the Gospel of Matthew, what you will see is that the good religious people of Jesus' day become angry that Jesus is teaching things that challenge what they have taught the people, and Jesus is healing people and breaking the Sabbath law by healing people. And the thing that really just put them over the edge is that Jesus forgave people's sins. And what we learn about these people is that when they got angry, they were always in groups. Anger loves groups of people who will gather together and let that just fester in their midst. And what is the outcome of this group who is filled with anger? They want to see Jesus dead. And so we see in the way it plays out with Jesus how being angry is just as much of a concern as it is to kill or take the life of another person. Anger is a normal human emotion. Every single one of us gets angry. It's that response that tells us that there's something wrong. And so it's important that we understand anger as to be something that's normal for us. It's a warning sign. However, it's not always clear at the beginning when we know that something's wrong whether we are the cause of what is wrong or someone else is the cause of what is wrong. And what Jesus tells us is that coming out of this anger is this yearning to insult others. Yearning to insult others. Insulting in one level is just sometimes the way that we are playful with each other, sort of picking on or teasing each other. My son and I made our annual trek down to North Carolina last week to see the Duke-UNC basketball game. I'm a Duke fan. He's a UNC fan. My wife won't go with us because she says she can't stand the trash talk all the way down and all the way back about the game. The game ended in what I thought was a glorious way, where Duke won. My son wasn't so happy about that. And so by the time I got back to the truck, he had left the game before me. He said, "Dad, I just need to walk this off." By the time I got back to the truck, he was kicking the tire of the truck, and he was just letting Duke have it. Everything was wrong with that. And all the way home, he kept just throwing these insults at me that somehow I was personally responsible for what had happened. You know, it's part of the playfulness that exists between people. But there can be a danger in insulting others. The danger can be that we start undoing what God has said about other people. You know, we read from the very beginning of Scripture that God made humanity and God said, "Very good," when God looked at humanity. And we hear throughout Scripture that God lays claim of us, that people are made in the image of God, that God takes great delight in people. And so we have that, and then we have people who decide to insult others, which is the exact opposite of what God does. The insults diminish. They violate the integrity of the other person. And they don't leave that person whole and complete, but it leaves them empty and broken. There are a lot of fascinating conversations around our dinner table at night, and many times we'll lift up to our son Andrew, you know, something going on in school and what it was like for us. But at times he will look at us and he'll say, "You know what, you don't understand." And of course, that can be the teenage way of getting out of responsibility. "You don't understand." But in the one area where we responded to him, "No, we don't," was in the area of kids making fun of kids. When my wife and I went to school, sure there was that kind of insulting and bullying that happened in school, but we knew that when we got home, we were safe. They couldn't get to us at home. But now with social media, students can get to each other 24 hours a day. And I don't know what that feels like because I'm not living that reality. Insulting other people is indeed something that's harmful to the person doing the insulting and to the one who receives the insults. Jesus also tells us that it's important to pay attention to name calling. Now, once again, there's the fun name calling thing, the nicknames we have for people in our families, just the fun things we call each other when something is going on. You know, my son's nickname in school is Mense. All his sporting buddies, all his coaches, his teachers, they all call him Mense. And one time, just recently, one of the kids said, "What is your last name, Andrew? Andrew, is it Mense?" And he said, "No, it's Menser." But there are other times when name-calling is destructive to another person. Think about it this way. The commandment is that we shouldn't bear false witness. And what that is getting at is that a person's livelihood is dependent upon their reputation in the community. And if the person has a good reputation, that person can get employment, and then that person has a way to support themselves and thrive in the community. But if that reputation is destroyed through things like name calling, their ability to sustain themselves becomes harder and harder. That's why Jesus cautions against using the phrase, "you fool," or any other kind of name-calling, because it literally can bring the death of another person because they can't find ways to support themselves. But Jesus says, beware of anger. Beware of how it can lead us to insult one another. Beware of the impact of calling one another names. Anger that we have that isn't dealt with and it's kept inside most times will lead to depression. And anger that we carry with us on an ongoing basis that's expressed most times will lead to cynicism. Jesus calls his followers to make a significant change in the way that they live so that anger is not part of the way they relate to each other. What Jesus says in this text is that, you know, be careful, you know, when you get angry because you're liable to judgment. Be careful when you insult because you're liable to the council. Be careful when you call someone a fool because you put in the hall of fire. Those are all actual processes that were in place in the community at the time. That if one would act out in anger in some way with insulting and with name-calling, that the council of the religious leaders would take that person and they would have a trial. If that person was found guilty, there were chances that that person would be banished to this valley south of Jerusalem, which was known as Gehenna, a place where they were just filled with soot and smoke and fire all the time. And Jesus' call is to engage in a way that that doesn't happen. Change the way things are. I think there's some things that we can take into consideration that will help us through the times when we are filled with anger. The first thing I think that can be very helpful to us is to spend time with people who tell us the truth in love. People that will speak the truth to us. Not those who will agree with everything we say and pat us on the shoulder and feed the fire, but those who speak the truth. Paul has us ask in the second lesson today to do this: pay attention to the people to whom you belong. Who is it that you follow? Who is it that shapes who you are? Pay attention to the people to whom you belong and ask, are they leading me in a way that brings about life? Jesus, later in the Gospel of Matthew, will give some more guidance on how we deal with someone that is angry with us or with whom we are angry. And he says this: go and talk to the person one-on-one. Notice that's different than go to find the people who agree with you and gossip about the person. Jesus doesn't recommend that. He says go to the person with whom there's a problem and try to resolve it. Only then, if it doesn't work, take another person with you as a witness. And if that doesn't work, then add some more leaders of your community. So notice how it starts at the lowest level, only to grow if the need is there. But it's a face-to-face engagement with the other person with the hope that things will change. We have the capacity as human beings to find ways to respond to anger that are healthy and life-giving. That is, that once we have the character of Christ, we have that capacity. And what Jesus does for each and every one of us is that he takes that old self, the one that wants to lash out in anger, the one that wants to insult, the one that wants to bring someone down. Jesus takes that old self, and we die to that old self, and we are raised to a new being, a new creation, Paul calls it, a new way of living. And that new way of living is a way of living that honors other people. Is very careful about how we relate to other people, knowing that Jesus is calling us to do so. And Jesus' call to do so is rooted in his very act of giving his life for the sake of all people. Amen.